ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 7, Chapter 12, Text 12, 13, and 14. I'll read Text 12. Anjana Bhyanjanon Mardo Sri Avilakamisam Madhu Shraganda Lepalankarams Chajayur Yebrahat Brataha. Translation. Brahmacharis or grihasthas who have taken the vow of celibacy as described above should not indulge in the following. Applying powder or ointment to the eyes, massaging the head with oil, massaging the body with the hands, seeing a woman or painting a woman's picture, eating meat, drinking wine, decorating the body with flower garlands, smearing scented ointment on the body, or decorating the body with ointments. These, what did I say? The body with ornaments, these they should give up. Text 13 and 14. I think you only have 13 on the board. Usit vaivam gurukule dvijo jityava buddhya cha trayim sangopanishadam yavad artam yata malam. Utsit maivam guru kule dvijo dvitriyava buddhya cha trayim sangopanishadam yavadartam yadapalam. Utsit maivam guru kule dvijo dvityava buddhya cha trayim sangopanisadam yavat artam yatabalam. Usit maivam guru kule dvijo dvityava buddhya cha trayim sangopanisadam yavarartam yatabalam. Usit vaiva guru kule jito dvidyava buddhya cha trayim sangopanisadam yavad artam yatabalam. Sit vaivam guru kule jijo dvidyava buddhya cha trayim sangopanishadam yavad artam yatabalam. Usit vaivam guru kule dvidyava buddhya cha trayim sangopanisadam yata artam yavabalam. Matajis. Usit vaivam guru kule dvijo dvidyava buddhya cha Jayim Sango Panishadam Yata Atam Yata Balam Vidvai Vam Guru Kule Jijo Didya Vabudya Cha Jayim Sango Panishadam Yavarartam Yatabalam. I'll read the next verse which is attached, 14. Tatva varam anujnata guru kamam yadishvaraha griham banam vapravishet pravajet tatravavaset ushitva residing evam in this way Guru Kule, under the care of the spiritual master. Dvija, the twice born, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Aditya, studying Vedic literature. Ababudhya, understanding it properly. Cha, and. Trayim, the Vedic literatures. Sa'anga, along with supplementary parts. Upanishadam, as well as the Upanishads. Yavarartam, as far as possible. Yatabalam, as far as one can, according to one's ability. Dattva, giving. Varam, remuneration. Anugyata, being asked. Guru, of the spiritual master. Kamam, desires. Yadi, if. Ishvaraha, capable. Griham, household life. Varam, retired life. Va, either. Pravishet, one should enter. Pravrajet, or get out of. Tatra, there. Va, either. Vaset, should reside. Translation. According to the rules and regulations mentioned above, one who is twice born, namely a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, should reside in the Gurukul under the care of the spiritual master. There, he should study and learn all the Vedic literatures along with their supplements and the Upanishads according to his ability and power to study. If possible, the student or disciple should reward the spiritual master with the remuneration the spiritual master requests, and then, following the master's order, the disciple should leave and accept one of the other ashrams, namely the grihastha, vanaprastha ashram, or sannyasa ashram, as he desires. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To study the Vedas and understand them, of course, requires some special intelligence. But the members of the three higher sections of society, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, must learn the Vedic literatures according to their capability and power to understand. In other words, studying the Vedic literatures is compulsory for everyone, but the Sudra and the Antyajas. The Vedic literature gives the knowledge that can lead one to understand the absolute truth, Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Gurukul, or the formatory educational institution, should be used only to understand Vedic knowledge. At the present time, there are many educational institutions for training and technology, but such knowledge has nothing to do with understanding of the absolute truth. Technology, therefore, is meant for the Sudras, whereas the Vedas are meant for the Dvijas. Consequently, this verse states, Dvijo dvitya vabudya cha Trayam Sangopanishadam. At the present time in the age of Kali, practically everyone is a Sudra and no one is a Dwija. Therefore, the condition of society has very much deteriorated. Another point to be observed from this verse is that from the Brahmacharya ashram, one may accept the sannyas ashram, vanaprastha ashram, or grihastha ashram. It is not compulsory for a brahmachari to become a grihastha. Because the ultimate aim is to understand the absolute truth, there is no necessity of going through all the different ashrams. Thus, one may proceed to the sannyas ashram directly from the brahmachari ashram. Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur accepted the sannyas ashram directly from the brahmachari ashram. In other words, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur, did not think it compulsory to accept the grihastha ashram or vanaprastha ashram. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. Please forgive me for not being able to sing or chant properly. We were 9,000 feet up in Mount Baldy yesterday, chanting for a mountain climb. We chant at the bottom of the mountain, which is only 9,000 feet. And we didn't have a microphone. So that made conditions a little difficult. But they liked the chanting. They smiled and waved and stole 3 CDs. One guy said he'd pay later. So herein, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, Krishna's explaining in verse 12 specifically, the qualifications and the situation for brahmachari, that he can't wear ointments or glance at a woman, paint a woman's pictures. He can't put ointment on the head or massage the body or put powder for decorating the eyes. I guess in our Western culture, we don't have that problem. It wasn't much to give up the powder for decorating our eyes when we became brahmacharis. But all of the other points were there in our brahmachari life. We had been accustomed to not only looking at the form of the woman, but for most brahmacharis, when we first joined, our meditation was 24 hours in a day, the form of a woman, the form of the opposite sex. And therefore, to give that up was a great discomfiture, so to speak. I know myself, I came to this movement with my 19-year-old girlfriend. She wanted to join. I was not interested. But she said, we have to join. It's so nice. And actually, when we went to the San Francisco temple, Bhutatma Prabhu, who was a very staunch and realized personality, he knew me from the university. And when I brought my girlfriend, he looked at me and he looked at her and he gave a Western gesture. Those of you who can't see that on the internet, he took his pointy finger and went from one side of the neck to the other. Suffice it to say, she was highly offended. A 19-year-old girl. He looked at me, looked at her, and said, you're dead. And I couldn't understand, what's his problem? She's a nice girl. She's a devotee girl. But the strict brahmachari standard was that you come and you be a brahmachari. So when we went away from that place and joined in Seattle, as far as we could get from San Francisco in 1973, there were many, many household devotees, but the president told us, you have to be brahmachari for 6 months, and you have to be brahmacharini for 6 months to be trained. Then you could be initiated, and then we can have marriage ceremony. She was 19, I was 20. We were thinking, yes, let's get married, because that's the Krishna conscious thing to do. Of course, Krishna had another plan. It was a trick to get me to join, I believe. She left before the 6 months was even up because she was taking some intoxication with two, three other ladies in the ashram and then going on the altar and performing aroti for Jagannath Swami. There is a standard in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada came to this movement, came to this Western world, started this movement in 1965-66, and he tolerated so much of the nasty Western culture. He was living in the Bowery, in a loft with a boy named Paul, who was literally deranged. Young boy was on drugs, hallucinogenics. Srila Prabhupada told him one day, don't leave the soap on the floor of the shower. It's dangerous. It's not good. Soap should be in the soap container. And Paul flipped out and went ballistic on Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada left the place, went to Carl Jurgens. Carl took him over to his friend Michael and Jan. They lived up the block a little way in Manhattan, 1966. Prabhupada knocking on the door with Carl Jurgens. Michael got up. When he came in, he said, this is Jen. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's your wife. And she started laughing. And she said, no, we're not married, boyfriend and girlfriend. And according to Michael, who later became Mukunda Maharaj, he said Prabhupada made some face, not quite understanding. You're not married and you're living together in the same. This was not Vedic standard. This is Western culture. Our culture. So then Srila Prabhupada sat on the couch to present to Michael Mukunda the difficulty. And when he sat on the couch, this nasty cat came and jumped on Prabhupada's lap. And Srila Prabhupada, because Vedic culture doesn't adore street animals, Srila Prabhupada pushed the cat off of his lap. And Mukunda, Michael at the time, was amazed. What kind of sadhu? He doesn't like cats. He said he understood later that in India and Vedic culture, that what we adore here in our Western culture, beautiful Western culture, are considered nasty and untouchable in India and in Vedic culture. These are street animals. That was their favorite pet. Had some long name I can't even pronounce. and Prabhupada presented, he had to tolerate all of the nasty situations of this Western culture. But Srila Prabhupada came to implant, to transplant the Vedic culture, the understanding of the ancient Indian culture, to give us some real culture. Of course, not everyone could follow. Of course, not everyone could come to the standard for brahmachari life, such strict standard. For sannyasi life, such strict, strict standard. And ourselves, we're used to so many years we grew up in the Western standard. No rules, no regulations, just don't break the law. Anything else is allowed, basically. And the laws are very loose. So Srila Prabhupada didn't come and lower the standard or give in to Western culture. But he tried to enforce and implant the Vedic culture in our society. Very difficult. Because we may not be, according to that standard, we may not be first class. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish this is the first class. Even we cannot follow because of our fallen nature and our upbringing, at least we understand this is first class and this is what we strive for. And this is real Vedic brahmachari, real Vedic grihastha, real Vedic vanaprastha, real Vedic sannyasi. In Vedic culture, household life, sex life is only for procreation. To our Western culture, that's more than foreign. It's unheard of. We would consider it, as Westerners, growing up in our culture, insane. Very difficult and very improbable of taking place. But Srila Prabhupada brought that culture, brought that standard without making compromise. If we can't follow that, we know we're fallen. And we're not the first class standard. We're less than first class. But we don't compromise the principles that Srila Prabhupada has given. If you can't follow the regulative principles, then we're fallen. Srila Prabhupada was asked, if I take household life, Vishwakarma Prabhu in Toronto asked, would that be considered a fall down? He was a staunch brahmachari, so to speak, by our standards. And Srila Prabhupada said, what is a question of fallen for a fallen fellow? In other words, we're all fallen. That we understand. Just like Navayogendra Swami comes and whispers in the Prabhupada disciples' ears, his godbrother's ears, I'm very fallen. Please help me. I don't know if you've experienced Savas, Naikatma. I'm sure you have experienced. Prabhuji, I have to tell you a secret. I'm very fallen. Of course, we have great respect for sannyasis, and I'm sure he's a very advanced personality. But that's our situation. We had our temple bhajan band USB port I was wearing. Goes around the neck and looks like they have a thing for us old people that you push a button. I've fallen and I can't get up. So I told Badri that here's the picture of Krishna, temple bhajan band collection. On the back there's a button for Prabhupada disciples. I've fallen and I can. He told me something very interesting. He said, that's our situation. He said, yes, you should preach that everywhere. We're all fallen, and without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can't get up. We're all very fallen. The standard of Vedic life, the standard that Srila Prabhupada brought, is very high standard. And even though he tolerated so much abuse, so to speak, in the early days of ISKCON and even later in ISKCON, they brought Srila Prabhupada milk one time. It had salt in it instead of sugar. Can you imagine? Milk with salt. They make me eat that to raise my blood pressure across the street. Water with table salt, because I refused the other thing. Srila Prabhupada tolerated so much of our Western ignorance. But it's our business to strive for that first class platform. Not to compromise. We may be fallen. We can get up. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By the mercy of our spiritual master, we can get up. Just like, can you imagine all those boys that were coming and girls in 1966, they came to 26 Second Avenue. Mukunda Maharaj went and got Srila Prabhupada the apartment. They said, I think 85 a month. So Srila Prabhupada talked to the gentleman who was the manager, and he said, these two boys, Carl and Michael, they're my life members. And Mukunda looked up, Michael looked up, and there was no life membership in those days. They're paying me $15 a month, and I gave them these three books. And they're paying every month. You take these three books, and you also become life member, and the rent will be $70 a month for 26 Second Avenue. And he accepted. Srila Prabhupada was selling his books even to the manager. $70 a month. I've been there to 26 Second Avenue. It's a nice apartment. Right around the corner from First Avenue, First Place, First Street. Beautiful, upbeat neighborhood. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada got the storefront, big storefront, for $70 a month, and upstairs apartment the manager gave, I think, was $85 a month. Of course, they didn't know, how are we going to come up with $160 a month? Srila Prabhupada had faith in Krishna. Of course, if we think of $160 a month these days, but in those days, 1966, a lot of money, $160 a month. Not a real lot, but a little bit a lot. So, same thing. Prabhupada sent Mukunda Maharaj, turn on the electricity. We had to put that in the name of the temple, ISKCON, I believe, they started the ISKCON. And Mukunda Maharaj went and they said his $85 down payment. Srila Prabhupada told them, tell them we're a non-profit organization. They don't have to charge that. So Mukunda Maharaj, Michael, knowing Western culture, presented the fact, and the lady looked at him and said, $85 down payment, please. So he went back and told Srila Prabhupada. They wouldn't agree to waiving what do they call that? Deposit. So Srila Prabhupada went to the electric company. I don't know, took bus or something. He went, talked to the lady, stood in line, came back and told Michael, we didn't have to pay a deposit. He wasn't even sure. Did he sell a set of books, membership that didn't exist? What happened? Srila Prabhupada had the deposit removed. So Srila Prabhupada came and they understood. Srila Prabhupada had a mission. Even they all came to Prabhupada and said, we want to learn Sanskrit. Well, Prabhupada said, oh, that's nice. We'll have a class on Saturdays. Srila Prabhupada put some Sanskrit on the bulletin on the blackboard. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnat Udachate. But he spent about 1 minute on the Sanskrit verse and 59 minutes explaining the deep meaning of Om Purnamada. And they could understand. Michael was thinking. Michael was a normal 20-year-old Jewish boy from the suburbs of Oregon, big jazz musician, but a normal person. He thought, the Swami just baited and switched me. We came for Sanskrit. We came to learn Sanskrit, and he's preaching his philosophy. He's just trying to get us to believe in Krishna and the philosophy, and the Sanskrit was just put on the board and that's it. So Srila Prabhupada, as they understood, even in those days, he had his mission. He kept his mission point. He wrote up the mission in the ISKCON mission statement that he had Mukunda Maharaj signed as Bhakta Michael. And Carl Jurgens, who I think remained Carl Jurgens throughout his life, but who was very helpful to Srila Prabhupada. I don't know where he is now, but many years ago. Huh? He became Karlapati. I didn't even know that. He's still around? Somewhere. But Srila Prabhupada came with a mission and a standard, and he was approaching perhaps the lowest of the low. These guys were not even hippies in 1966. That came later. They were, what did they call that in Lower East? Beatniks. They were beatniks for you young people. Beatniks were lower than hippies. Beatniks you couldn't even explain. They had beards and drank coffee and wine and hung out in coffee shops and did poetry like this famous, what's his name? Allen Ginsberg, the original beatnik. Pre-hippie. Hippies was later, and there were suburban hippies. They were nice kids. Many joined. And Srila Prabhupada had approached this beatnik class of man and woman, beatnik woman. So many beatnik ladies were coming. Pre-hippie. Worse than hippie. No offense, please, if anyone is a beatnik out there. And Srila Prabhupada's mission was to change the beatniks into Krishna conscious persons following Vedic principles and Vedic culture. He didn't compromise. Prabhupada said, I've taken the hippies and turned them to happies because of following Vedic culture and Vedic principles. So this standard is there. We may not be able to follow perfectly. We're fallen, but we can get up. That's actually false advertisement. I've fallen, but I can get up by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. I think that will be our motto. Next USB port will put a button on the back and say, I've fallen, but I can get up by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So this is our mission. We may not be perfect, but we preach the perfect philosophy. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. And we present uncompromisingly Krishna consciousness to establish the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Tell what I'm reading.